Well, we are Sabbathing a little different this morning. Nature sort of built us in a Sabbath. We're hopefully at home. Maybe you're in your pajamas, coffee, whatever at hand, and we are going to talk about Sabbath while also Sabbathing. And Sabbath means just to stop and to rest, and hopefully you're getting to do that today. And if your job is to drive a plow truck or an ambulance or anything like that, I'm so sorry. Maybe you'll get to Sabbath over the next couple days. So this year, we're looking together at the practices of Jesus. We're going to cover a lot this year, and my hope is that by the end of the year, we can implement more and more of these practices into our lives to become more and more like Jesus. And so we're in the middle of a four-week series on Sabbath. Now, week one, we talked about Sabbath as an invitation, and specifically, we looked at five invitations from Jesus. Those were an invitation to rest, to learn, to the heart of God, to practice Sabbath, and then ultimately to Jesus. In week two, we talked about Sabbath as rhythm. We determined that Sabbath is rhythm and not a rule. Sabbath is also a rhythm of trust, and then it's also a rhythm of covenant, right? And we looked at the Ten Commandments. So this week, we are going to talk about Sabbath as resistance. Sabbath as resistance. We have a Bible study group that's been meeting on Wednesday nights and diving deeper into the practices or the practice of Sabbath. And we've been talking and sharing, and one theme that comes up often is that Sabbath feels impractical. And that's true. It does. It feels very impractical to just stop and rest and delight and worship and just be. We live in a culture that's nonstop. About 200 years ago, gas lamps and gas lightings in houses and workplaces became commonplace. And we've never really looked back. To start, once that happened, they went from 8 to 10-hour workdays to 12 to 16-hour workdays. Now, that didn't last long with the laborers. They sort of revolted against that, which is good. They should have. So they went to two 12-hour shifts. And then the general workforce finally agreed on doing 8-hour shifts, and so they went to 3 8-hour shifts a day. I don't know how sharp your math is, but that's nonstop for 24 hours a day. Now, I understand they bring in different workers for each shift and that people get breaks, but if you look at almost any manufacturing business or most retail, especially chain stores, they are 24/7 operating. It's a 24/7 operation. Even when they're closed, people are there cleaning and restocking. And this is just in the workplace. We are pushed to be productive even when we aren't at work. We need to be working towards something or building towards something. And that's not all bad, right? We do need to be doing that stuff, but we still need a break from it all. And then there's this availability that didn't used to exist, and now it does. We are expected to be 24/7 available. That's just the expectation now. Do you guys remember answering machines? Remember when you had to call somebody's house phone, and if they didn't pick up, you just left a message? And it could be a couple days before they got back to you. Nowadays, if you don't hear back from someone in a couple days, you're contemplating filing a missing persons report. You're contemplating sending a welfare check on them. You can call, and if they don't answer your call, then you can text, and if they don't answer your text, you can message them on Facebook or Instagram or any other form of media or digital platform. There's hundreds of ways to get a hold of people, and we are available all the time digitally. You know, there's always been a need for Sabbath. In the context of first century Jerusalem, it was labor and the marketplace. You're getting to Sabbath from labor and the marketplace. In the context of Israel and Egypt, it was a new way of life after slave labor. In our context, it's not only a break from the marketplace or from labor, but it's a break from the digital availability and this constant information consumption. When was the last time you just sat with no noise or scrolling, or distractions, or drove without the radio on, or a podcast on, or just took a walk without headphones? We're constantly inundated with noise and information. The problem with that is that we are not machines. Yes, our brain is a supercomputer, but it still is tissue and it needs rest, especially all the information that comes out, 95% of which is negative. That's a lot of weight to carry, especially when we have no control over that information. We have no way to solve most of this stuff, these problems that we consume. The reality is that it's not ours to carry. None of this is ours to carry. And when we Sabbath, we say, this is enough. I'm not going to participate in this cycle anymore. I'm going to take a break from all the craziness and just recenter my heart and my mind and my life on God. So when we Sabbath, it's not only taking a break from the marketplace and from work, it's also taking a break from the digital world as well. And that is resistance in our culture. Sabbath is a countercultural way that we participate in the kingdom of God. So, let's get into some scripture and look at Sabbath in the context of resistance. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the Sabbath commandment found in Exodus. Now, we know that this is part of the Ten Commandments, and we're going to read this again to set up our passage in Deuteronomy. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your animals, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy." Now, the scripture we're going to focus on today is a second giving of this commandment, of the Ten Commandments, of the Sabbath commandment. Moses is retelling the Ten Commandments. Remember, God provides this escape for Israel out of Egypt, and God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. And then Israel can't stop whining, and they're wandering the desert, and it's been about 40 years. Well, in Deuteronomy, in chapter 5 specifically, Moses is re-preaching these Ten Commandments, but to a new generation of Israelites. About 40 years later, this takes place in the plains of Moab right before they're getting ready to enter the Promised Land. Is everybody with me? I'm assuming you're saying yes. I can't see your faces. All right, let's read together. Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. It says, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." So, the first half of both commandments are basically the same, but there's a significant difference here. I don't know if you caught it or not, but we're going to check out these last two parts side by side. Exodus 8, verse 11. "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Deuteronomy 5, 15. "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath." You see, we learned already in our first message in this series that Sabbath is rooted in creation, right? The Lord worked and then he rested. He set the rhythm of creation with Sabbath. But here we see God root the Sabbath in liberation as well. The Sabbath isn't just about rest anymore, it's about freedom. See, the Lord rested on the seventh day, and that's why we Sabbath. than Deuteronomy. Remember, you were slaves, and this is why we rest. So we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at what it is exactly that we are resisting when we Sabbath. Number one, Sabbath resists false identity. Sabbath resists false identity. Verse 14, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work. So, when we do not take a break from labor, our identity becomes skewed. It starts to morph into what we do or what we produce or the quality or the quantity of our work. See, work is good. God wants us to work, but it's not the ultimate. It's not what we are to worship. It's not what we're to place our identity in. When we place our value and our identity in work or achievements or our production, what happens when we can't produce anymore? Maybe a sickness or an injury or just simple aging happens. We can no longer work the way we could before. Do you see the problem? If my worth is wrapped up in my production, then at some point I'll be worthless, or at least worth less. So when we practice Sabbath, we resist this notion. See, Sabbath declares that I am not what I produce. I'm not what I achieve. I am loved apart from my usefulness. We were made to live in the kingdom of God. That is our identity. In the kingdom of God, there is work and there's creativity and there is production, but it's not the end all. When we practice Sabbath, we're practicing life in the kingdom of God now. We train our brains and our nervous systems to trust God and trust that our identity isn't wrapped up in what we do or what we make. It trains us to trust that God loves us even if we aren't productive. Sabbath is a weekly protest against the lie that we are what we do. Imagine wearing a name tag that says what your occupation is on it. Maybe an executive or a farmer or a dentist or a nurse or a firefighter or stay-at-home parent or salesperson or factory worker or student, whatever the case may be. Whatever it is you do, it's on you all the time, a name tag. Now imagine God once a week gently removing that name tag and saying, today, you are just my beloved. If stopping work feels like losing yourself, it might be because work is your identity. Sabbath reminds us who we are when that title comes off. Number two, Sabbath resists injustice. It says Deuteronomy 5:14 still says, neither you nor your son or your daughter nor your male or female servant nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. So Sabbath is communal. It's not individual. In fact, most things in the kingdom of God are communal. In this instance, we see everyone rests, children, servants, foreigners, even animals. God builds into the rhythm of the week for everyone to rest. In Egypt, the Israelites didn't get rest. It was an injustice. In fact, in Egypt, rest was a privilege of the powerful. Royalty was who got to rest. Everything else served them and their needs and their wants. In God's kingdom, rest is a human right. Even servants get rest. It's really a right of all creation, right? Even the animals get rest. We see Sabbath built into creation. It is a right of created things by God. Rest is built into it. So when we practice Sabbath, we are resisting overworking people. We're resisting measuring people's worth by their output. Practicing Sabbath transforms us into people who value being over doing. In other words, it transforms us into Christ-likeness because Jesus also values being over doing. Think about a factory running three shifts, 24/7. The lights never turn off. Shifts just keep changing in and out. People become interchangeable parts of a system. But in God's kingdom, everyone stops, everyone rests, and no one is disposable. No one is interchangeable. No one's a part of a system. When God commands Sabbath for everyone, he's saying that no human is a machine. So practicing Sabbath trains us to build lives and systems that value and protect human dignity, not turn people into interchangeable parts. Number three, Sabbath resists slavery. Sabbath resists slavery. So we know that the Bible is for all people across all time, right? It is written to certain audiences over time, but it is for all people across all time. So first, let's look at what this means to the people that Moses was speaking to directly. For them, Egypt was a system built on endless production, dehumanization, abuse of power, and no rest. Pharaoh never gives days off. So God commands Sabbath as a constant weekly reminder that the Israelites are no longer slaves. When you put this into our context, what are some of the Egypts of today? Well, hustle culture. We're always in a hurry everywhere we go. One thing to the next to the next. Busyness is definitely something that we can become a slave to. How about career as an identity? That's another Egypt that we face today, putting all of our identity into what we do. If you can't imagine yourself or you think, I don't know who I would be without my job, you could have a problem. That is a modern day Egypt. Another Egypt we face is the digital world. Algorithms and notifications run our spare time. It's very hard to put the phone down and just take a break from knowing what's going on all the time in every arena of media and everybody's business. I think that there's an easy way to tell if you're a slave to something. It's not a fun way, but it's easy. If you can't put something down for one day of the week, whether it's work or busyness or your phone, if you cannot go one day a week without that, then something other than God is your master. That's not fun to hear, is it? It wasn't fun for me to write either, because I'm talking to myself too. In fact, it kind of stings. But the reality is that if I cannot take a day out of my week and set down all that I'm carrying, then God is not my master. The things that I'm carrying become my master. So think about your phone for a minute. This device that we have in our pockets, right? We all have got them. This thing never says, hey, you've done enough. This thing doesn't care if you're tired or anxious or empty. It's Pharaoh, always in your pocket, always demanding more. Egypt, you see, wasn't just a place, but it's also a pace. And it's a pace that we were never meant to live at. Sabbath is included in the pace of creation, but it's also rooted in the freedom to rest. So when we practice Sabbath, we're training ourselves to live in God's kingdom where God owns time and we are not slave to it. The last resistance, number four, Sabbath resists fear through trust. It says, the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. We see Moses do something really cool here. Not only is he regrounding the Sabbath in freedom from slavery, he's also grounding it in God and who God is and what God has done specifically for the Israelites. Now, it's easy to get removed from a situation, especially one where it was evident that God delivered you from something, and then look back and think, man, look what I did. How How did I do that? I can't believe I was able to get through that. You see, the Israelites here are 40 years removed from Egypt. And at this point, Moses is looking back and saying, look what God did. He says, God brought you out of Egypt. Let's not forget that. Israel didn't free themselves, right? God freed Israel. And by grounding the Sabbath in God and what God has done, Moses is saying that when we practice Sabbath, we are saying that God will provide and God will sustain us and that God is still in control even when I stop and rest. You ever notice that whenever you drop the ball on something or just let something go or even just let go control of something, the world doesn't stop spinning. Even though it feels like it might if we don't have a grip on it, if we don't have control of our situation or whatever we have in front of us. We saw this in the story last time of the manna and the quail. Even though God was providing so that people could Sabbath, some still couldn't let go of control and they tried to store up manna and it went rotten. When we practice Sabbath, we're saying, I trust God enough to stop and to rest and to delight in Him. Even if we're afraid of what we might miss out on or what we might miss when we stop. We trust that God will provide and sustain for us. Sabbath trains us to trust even in the midst of fear. Sabbath is a resistance, and it's a resistance to false identity, to injustice, to slavery, and to fear. The Sabbath isn't legalism, but it's liberation. So the question this week isn't, do I have time to stop and rest and delight and worship? The question is, what kind of person am I becoming if I don't practice Sabbath, if I don't stop and rest and delight and worship? See, we have a freebie today. We have Sabbath built in. Hopefully you are inside your homes. You are stopping and resting and delighting and worshiping and just doing nothing. Just allowing God to fill you, allowing yourself to be recentered, allowing your life to align and take a break from all the consumption and the output. Remember, Sabbath is our weekly protest that says against a world that says more is never enough. And when we practice Sabbath, we declare that God is. God is enough. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you. Thank you for the Sabbath. Thank you for a way to resist this world that is so crazy and so busy and so chaotic and so hectic. Thank you for the freedom of the Sabbath. Thank you for not just creating a pace for us, but grounding this break in freedom. God, help us to feel free to rest today. Help us to feel free to just stop and delight and put down whatever it is that we're carrying and just focus on you. God, we thank you for this opportunity to gather online. This wasn't here several years ago. We thank you for meeting us here this morning. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And God, we thank you for the Sabbath. Help us to be a people that protest against a world that says more is never enough. Help us to be a people that kick back against that culture that was set so long ago against the rhythm of your creation. God, we can't thank you enough. We love you. We praise you. Be with us this week. We ask again for relief in the weather. Keep us all warm and safe. And we just love you and praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us from home this morning. God bless you guys. Please stay warm, stay safe. Don't do anything crazy out there. And also, have fun stopping, resting, delighting, and worshiping God today. God bless you.